नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमः श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नन्दनाय च नन्दगोपकुमाराय गोविन्दाय नमो नमः। शृण्वतां स्वकथा कृष्ण पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तना हृदयन्तस्थोय भद्राणि विधुनोति सुहृत्सताम्। हरे कृष्ण। टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम 11th कैंटो चैप्टर 6 एंटाइटल्ड द यदु डायनेस्टी रिटायर्स टू प्रभास। टेक्स्ट नंबर 30। यद्यसंहृत्य दृप्तानां यदूनां विपुलं कुलं गन्तास्म्यनेन लोकोऽयम् उद्वेलेन विनङ्क्षति। यद्यसंहृत्य दृप्तानां यदूनां विपुलं कुलम् गन्तास्म्यनेन लोकोऽयम् उद्वेलेन विनङ्क्षति। यद्यसंहृत्य दृप्तानां यदूनां विपुलं कुलम् गन्तास्म्यनेन लोकोऽयम् उद्वेलेन विनङ्क्षति। गन्तास्म्यनेन लोकोऽयम् उद्वेलेन विनङ्क्षति। यद्यसंहृत्य दृप्तानां यदूनां कुलम् गन्तास्म्यनेन लोकोऽयम् उद्वेलेन विनङ्क्षति। यद्यसंहृत्य दृप्तानां यदूनां विपुलं कुलम् गन्तास्म्यनेन लोकोऽयम् उद्वेलेन विनङ्क्षति। मतजिस्। यद्यसंहृत्य दृप्तानां यदूनां विपुलं कुलम् गन्तास्म्यनेन लोकोऽयम् उद्वेलेन विनङ्क्षति। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग। यदि इफ असंहृत्य विदाउट विड्रॉइंग दृप्तानाम ऑफ द ओवरली प्राउड यदूनाम यदूज विपुलम द वास्ट कुलम डायनेस्टी गंता अस्मि आई गो अनेन फॉर दैट रीजन लोक द वर्ल्ड अयम दिस उद्वेलेन बाय द ओवरफ्लो ऑफ द यदूज विनंक्ष्यति विल बी डिस्ट्रॉयड। ट्रांसलेशन प्रोवाइडेड बाय द डिसिपल्स ऑफ हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन। If I were to leave this world without withdrawing the overly proud members of the Yadu dynasty, the whole world would be destroyed by the deluge of their unlimited expansion. Purport. Just as a tidal wave overwhelms the boundary of the shore and wreaks havoc on innocent people. Similarly, there was imminent danger that the powerful Yadu dynasty might expand beyond all boundaries of social and political control. The members of the Yadu dynasty had become proud because of their apparent familial relationship with the personality of Godhead. Although they were very religious and devoted to Brahminical culture, they had become, as indicated by the word driptanam, affected by pride due to their relationship with Krishna. Furthermore, due to their intense love for Krishna, they would certainly feel such intense separation after the Lord's departure to the spiritual world that they would become maddened and thus become an unbearable burden on the earth. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has pointed out, however, that the earth herself, due to attachment for Krishna, would never consider Krishna's own family members to be anything but a welcome burden. Still, Krishna wanted to remove this burden. The example is given that for the pleasure of her husband, a beautiful young wife may decorate herself with many golden ornaments. These ornaments constitute a painful burden for the dedicated wife. But although she is willing to bear this burden, the loving husband removes the ornaments for the pleasure of his wife. So the Lord, desiring to apply the wisdom of an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, took precautions to remove from the earth the burden of the Yadu dynasty. Om Agyanti Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahidam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhuvya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So read the purport again. Lord Krishna is speaking to Brahmaji here. If I were to leave this world without withdrawing the overly proud members of the Yadu dynasty, the whole world would be destroyed by the deluge of their unlimited expansion. So in the present portion of Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, we are being taken to the last pastime of Lord Krishna on this earthly planet, that is the winding up pastime of the Lord. And as was explained in the class yesterday by His Grace Sankirtan Prabhu, that Krishna, the verses, they narrate that how Lord Krishna, he appeared in this Yadu dynasty for decreasing the burden of earth. And that was the reason why he was called by the demigods. And Lord Krishna speaks, how he appears for fulfilling their purpose. And Sankirtan Prabhu narrated the whole, the Lord's activities when he comes. And we see that now Krishna is going to speak to Lord Brahma how he is going to wind up his pastime. And one thing that a very striking point is that when Lord Krishna comes and he leaves, he makes a perfect plan. He plans before he comes and while leaving. So, whatever Krishna does, he does it with great perfection and preparation. So, this we can see that when Lord Krishna appeared, when he was petitioned by the demigods to appear to decrease the burden of earth, so before his coming, he through the heart of Lord Brahma, he gave the instruction that all the demigods should also prepare to come. And that was his preparation, that before he comes, all the demigods also come as portions in and take birth in the dynasties of Yadu and other related dynasties like Andhaka, Bhoj, Vrishni, like that. And while he was here, so all his pastimes are very well planned of how, while living in Vrindavan, he not only increased the devotion of the residents of Vrindavan, but simultaneously also was killing so many demons, and that was his play. So many different pastimes of the Lord, they are just so that he can fulfill one of his purposes of paritranaya sadhunam, by protecting the devotees from the physical harm that was being sent by Kamsa and the other demons, and also by creating so many pastimes for ultimate protection of devotees that they can remember the Lord through those pastimes. And then he also perfectly planned how he will leave Vrindavan to fulfill the purpose of killing Kamsa. And in that, leaving Vrindavan, he simultaneously increased the devotion of the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis, and established their supreme position as the best of his devotees. And at the same time, when he left Vrindavan, so one side, by leaving this supreme abode, his most cherished abode of Vrindavan, he increased the devotion of the gopis and the residents of Vrajvasis on one hand, and on the other hand, by visiting so many other places like Mathura, eventually Mithila, Hastinapur, Dwarka, Kaundinyapur, so many places he visited, and he increased the population of his devotees by interacting with devotees and basically getting as many souls, conditioned souls, as possible closer to him and on the way back to Godhead. So we see that there is a great plan in whatever he does. And now, coming closer to fulfilling his other purpose of Vinashaya cha Dushkritam. So here we see that he perfectly planned the Mahabharat war, in which all the kings who were very proud of their military strength and were, because of that pride, becoming great burden on earth, they all assembled together in one place. Previously, he allowed Jarasandh to accumulate so much of armies as part of his plan to eliminate that burden. And now, in Mahabharat war, again, so that was the final installment of removing all the demoniac kings on the planet Earth, which were actually become great burden. And after he has accomplished his task, now he is thinking of how to leave. So just like in a very well scripted drama. This is drama season, so we'll see many dramas in these 2 days. So in a very, very well scripted drama, so there is a perfect scene created for, you know, appearance of the hero, and then middle scenes are there for the different activities and pastimes, and then there is a perfect scene for closing the drama. Because if it is so interesting, it will keep on going. And, you know, it can extend to such an extent that, you know, so one of the sensitivities also that keep measure of time and close the drama. Hopefully I'll keep the measure of time. So, you know, here we see that Krishna, he is perfectly making plan now of how to leave. So he is preparing, and in that he is now seeing that the purpose of the demigods is fulfilled. But what's happening now is that my own family members, the Yadus, who are none other than the portions of demigods who came to help the Lord to fulfill their own purpose. And it seems that they are becoming the burden now. And now he is planning how to effectively reduce the burden of earth by sending these of his, these family members to their respective abodes before he goes to his respective abode, as being requested by the demigods themselves. So we see in the first few verses of this chapter, it starts with the demigods are very gently reminding the Lord, everything is over now, everything is settled, so you can proceed. So Krishna is thinking, yes, but before me you have to proceed. So it's just, the verse mentions that Krishna is seeing that there is some kind of pride which is coming, driptanam, in the Yadus, because of their familial affection. Now we should understand that they are part of this drama, and they are no ordinary living entities. So the members of the Yadu dynasty, although apparently seeming to be proud, but we should understand that it is just an arrangement of the Lord to use them in this fulfillment of his purpose. And this portion of Krishna's pastimes, the Maushal Leela, is the most intense, very bewildering, and also very instructive. So while leaving, the Lord wants to have a last and a lasting impact on his devotees. So this is the last pastime by which he wants to also give a lasting impact on the minds of devotees, that what we should be very careful of. So Yadus were no ordinary persons. Their so-called pride is just to instruct all the devotees, especially the practicing devotees, that this anartha can come to anyone at any time, in any circumstances, to any extent. So here we see they are the most closest members of Krishna's family, and Krishna is saying that triptanam, they are becoming proud. And it is mentioned that the position of the Yadus is very special. In the Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Sanatana Goswami mentions that these Yadavas, they had such great love and affection for the Lord, and to such an extent that Krishna actually forgot Vaikuntha. So he mentions a verse that Krishna Vismritya Vaikuntho Vilasai Svai Anukshanam Navam Nayam Navam Navam Anirvachyam Vitanoti Sukham Mahat. So basically we know that in Srimad, in Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita, Narad Muni is going to different demigod, different devotees, to know who is the best of the devotees and on whom the Lord is most merciful. So he, in the course of going to so many devotees, he comes to Pandavas, and Pandavas, they say, actually Lord does not have much affection on us. He is most affectionate to Yadavas, that he never leaves them. And then Narad Muni goes to Dwarka, and then he starts praising the Yadavas, and he says, this verse mentions that Krishna has now forgotten Vaikuntha, for he is bound by intense, unbreakable loving exchanges with these Yadus. He sees the Yadus, touches them, talks with them, sits with them, he eats and sleeps with them, follows them when they walk, takes part in their marriage ceremonies, and shares in their activities of embodied life. These relations are more tangible than the yogi's union with him in meditation. Thus, by his pastimes, Krishna spreads among the Yadus infinite pleasure, ever fresh and indestructible, destroying any desire that they might have for heaven or liberation, and increasing more and more their devotion to him. While eating, sleeping, sitting, walking, speaking, bathing, enjoying diversions, the Yadus are so absorbed in pure love for Krishna that they even forget their own families and possessions. And then he addresses Ugrasen Maharaj and says that, O King of Yadus, as you sit on your great throne, that same Hari stands before you like a servant and addresses you with reverence. So this is the position of Yadus. We can't even imagine, Krishna is actually doing all these daily affairs, daily activities with Yadus so intimately. So how can they, who are forgetting even themselves and their families, become proud? So it's basically just to teach us a lesson that how, by Krishna's arrangement here, Yadavas are becoming proud. If we are not careful, we can also become proud because of the physical proximity with the Lord or his associates, that we may end up taking things for granted. It is mentioned in Chanakya Niti that Atyasanna Vinashaya Durastha Na Falaprada Sevyantam Madhya Bhagena Raja Vahnir Gurur Strayam. So it says that, he says that if you are too close to these three, the king or the master, fire or guru, Vinashaya, it can actually be a great trouble. And if you are too far away, then it will not produce any result. So we know, many times we say Birbal ki khichdi. So, the fire and the ingredients are so far away that it actually has no effect. So if you are too far away from the master or king or fire or guru, then it has no effect. And if you are too close, it can have a counter effect. So he says that all these three should be served with medium, madhya bhagena, with medium distance, not too far, not too close, because there is a danger of taking for granted. It is mentioned that, familiarity breeds contempt. So that's what Krishna is trying to hint here, that Yadus, because of their physical proximity with the Lord, dealing so closely with the Lord every day, because of their familial affection, it seems that they are becoming proud. And we know, we have heard so many times that pride is something which is intolerable to Krishna. So Krishna cannot tolerate pride in his devotees. there may be other anarthas, and that will get purified gradually with the process of bhakti. But this pride, Krishna takes exception, does not tolerate. Because this pride actually ruins the devotion of our heart, which is actual real wealth of the devotees. And Krishna does not want his devotees to lose the greatest wealth of their heart, that is their devotion to the Lord. So, you know, that's why he does not allow pride to enter into the hearts of devotees. And to remove this anartha, then there are so many different ways that he creates situations so that the devotees become humble. Kunti Maharani prays that, you know, Krishna is actually easily achieved by those who are humble and who think that they are nothing. And for those who are proud of their material wealth or parentage or intelligence or even beauty, so Krishna is very difficult to achieve for them. Janma Ishwarya Shuddha Shribhir Edamana Madapaman. So here we see that externally Yadavas had all these things. But as we mentioned again, they are being used as an example to drive this point that these things, which are actually opulences of the Lord, it's not that intrinsically wealth is bad or intrinsically learning is not good. But taking pride in these opulences, that's the obstacle. In the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that how he is the source of all these things. Krishna says that he is the source of all these opulences and everything that we see in this material world. Prithvi apanala vayu kham mano buddhirevacha. That not just earth, water, fire, air, ether, but even our intelligence is Krishna's inferior energy. So many times we are very proud, or someone can become very proud of his intelligence. But Krishna says that is inferior energy. The soul, that is the superior energy. And further Krishna says that whatever ability is also there in this world, in anything, animate or inanimate, that is also nothing but Krishna himself. So the ability of the water to satisfy the thirst, that is not possible without Krishna. Krishna says, rasoham apsu kaunteya. So we, through our different activities, we want to satisfy. Now the capacity to satisfy to the fullest extent which the water has, no one can actually have, because we hear many times, we can't satisfy everyone. Water satisfies everyone always. And that is Krishna. So, further says, prabhasmi sasi shureyo, that the light of sun and moon is also Krishna himself. Now, there cannot be, and there is no nothing in this universe which is as influential as the sun. In this dark universe, the sun is the most important and spreads its influence all over the universe. So sometimes we may think we have such great influence over people, but nothing compared to sun. And Krishna says that opulence of influence is also him. So whatever we can take pride of, actually they are nothing but Krishna's opulences, Krishna's energy. So we can be proud of something that belongs to us, but not something which belongs to someone else. No one takes pride in neighbor having a Mercedes car. Mere baju wale ke paas Mercedes car hai. Nahi. Right? When we think, oh, I have, or when we know that I have something, then we feel proud of. But we don't feel proud of something which is not belonging to us. But when we realize that whatever abilities we have, he says that Paurusham Rishu, that I am the ability in man. So whatever ability we have to learn, to speak, to do any activity, that is nothing but Krishna's mercy. So then, where is the scope for becoming proud actually? But it is only because of the false ego, which is also the inferior energy ego. Ego helps to actually develop the identification. What is our identification? The true ego is to understand our real identity, that we are servants of the Lord. But false ego, the perverted ego, is to think that I am the proprietor, I am the master, I am the Lord of all I serve. And that's where this ignorance actually creates the problem. And we see that, you know, so this kind of ignorance which causes one to become proud of, Krishna does not tolerate. We know that similar kind of pride also came once in gopis during the Rasalila. The gopis were thinking, Krishna is with me, Krishna is with us, and they were feeling that, you know, Krishna is reciprocating so much love with me, more than anyone else. And seeing that slight trace of pride, Krishna disappeared from amongst their midst. But then, with that disappearance, what happened is something different. The gopis' devotion was so intense and strong and genuine that not seeing Krishna amongst their midst, they were more absorbed in thinking of Krishna and started narrating different pastimes of the Lord and even acting out those pastimes. And in that, they were actually absorbed in thinking of Krishna to such an extent that Krishna had to appear. And Krishna appeared. Right? But here, we see that similar kind of pride arising in Yadus, that we are so close to Krishna. Every day we are dealing in such intimate ways. But we find that Krishna does not have that confidence that if I disappear, then they will also be absorbed. That's what it appears from the, you know, I may be speculating, please forgive me. But, you know, so Krishna, so he plans that, okay, before I leave, because here it seems that the word used is udvelena, that, you know, they will overflow the whole earth. In the earlier verse, it mentioned that very Yadav dynasty in which I appear became greatly magnified in opulence, especially in their physical strength and courage, to the extent that they threatened to devour the whole world. Therefore, I have stopped them, just as the shore holds back the great ocean. So in the commentary on this verse and the today's verse, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur mentions that Krishna is saying that these are so powerful that they can actually spread all over the world and still the earth would be insufficient for them. But through my mystic opulence, I have kept all of them concentrated in Dwarka. But the moment I leave, so as the purport mentions, then there will be a tsunami which will actually devour the whole earth. Because they are very powerful in physical and military strength. And as the first sentence of the purport says, that just like tidal wave overwhelms the boundary of the shore and wreaks havoc on innocent people, similarly there was imminent danger that the powerful Yadu dynasty might expand beyond all boundaries of social and political control. So thinking in this way, then Lord Krishna is thinking that, you know, before I leave, they should leave. And you know, if they don't leave, then they are nothing but actually they are becoming burden on the earth. And you know, the reason why Krishna feels that they are becoming burden is because he sees that trace of pride. So, you know, Yadus were actually instruments of Krishna in reducing the burden of earth. So that's why before his coming, he ordered them to appear, to use them as instruments to reduce the burden of earth. And here we see that they are becoming proud, and rather than becoming the instruments to reduce the burden, they are becoming the burden themselves. And so, in one sense, now the remaining of Yadavas on the planet Earth was becoming irrelevant. That they were no more required now to continue living. So basically, because of this pride, the Yadus, they were now becoming irrelevant for Krishna's service, which previously they were brought as instrument. Now they were becoming irrelevant. So we know that for any work to be done, instruments are most important. And once the work is done, then the first thing that is wound up is the instruments, because then they become irrelevant, they are not required. So, you know, they have to be carefully kept back in their place so that whenever required, they can be used again. So here we see that these Yadavas, because of becoming proud, apparently, and becoming irrelevant for the service of the Lord, Krishna is planning that how he can first send them back and then he can leave. So that they don't become a disservice. They were brought to do this service of reducing the burden, but if they would continue, then that would be a greater disservice for the planet Earth. So, you know, we learn that how we can continue to serve, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, that we can constantly chant the holy names if we cultivate this consciousness of being humble. Trinadapi shunichena taroriva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadhari. So we learn this lesson that till we humbly keep serving in the mission of the Lord, we remain relevant to the mission of the Lord, to the service of the Lord. But the moment we become proud of our achievements that are actually made possible by Krishna's arrangement only, by Krishna's empowerment, so the moment that pride comes, then we actually render ourselves irrelevant. And as we have heard, that pride is, then it becomes the cause of self-destruction. So, you know, to avoid that becoming irrelevant, the best policy or the position which Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says is to remain humble in any circumstance. And in that way, we can constantly keep serving and constantly keep chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, just to conclude, what we discussed is that, you know, Krishna makes a perfect plan whenever he comes and he exits. And here, apparently, Yadavas are, Krishna is saying that they are seemingly proud, but we should know that Krishna has special relation with Yadus, and they were being used as an instrument to teach a very relevant lesson to the devotees. And Krishna, and that lesson is that Krishna cannot tolerate pride in the life of devotees. And, you know, there is difference between the pride that the gopis had and the Yadus had. So, it's also relevant that what stage we are at to recognize that. And if we become proud, then we actually become irrelevant for Krishna's service. And so, to remain relevant, the best thing is, the best position is the humble position. And in that way we can constantly keep chanting and keep serving the Lord. So, I have spoken many things which are very easy to say and very difficult to practice. So, beg at the lotus feet of all the devotees that I can to some extent follow this most important lesson of never becoming proud but always being humble in the service of the Lord. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna.